This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's battle time!
We are going to the Super Bowl!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
He's being chased, tries to get outside. He does!
He's got the first down!
Coming up on today's show, complete Championship Sunday recap, way too early Super Bowl preview, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show here on Disney Plus, here on the ESPN app, here on ESPN Radio Sirius XM Channel 80, 844-204-RICH, number to dial, looking down, already seeing phone lines lit. That makes me all very happy. We greatly appreciate that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial, whether you're watching us, whether you're listening to us, however you're taking in this program, we greatly appreciate it. Super Bowl 60 is set. It is, in fact, the Seattle Seahawks against the New England Patriots. Two people that are playing in this Super Bowl, Drake May and Sam Darnold. Not a lot of people thought that would be possible coming into the season, and yet it is. And I'd love to chat about it with you. 844-204-RICH, as I said, number to dial. Chris Brockman, congratulations to you and your Patriots.
Thank you very
much.
Good
to see you,
sir.
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. What's up, sir?
Good morning. Good morning, Rich.
TJ Jefferson, the candle is lit. Good to see you in your spot, TJ.
Take the points. Just a reminder.
We will discuss that. We will discuss that. Let's talk about the NFC Championship game to start, because the AFC Championship game got lost in a blizzard in that second half, and there's not much to talk about from that game with the exception of the taking the points and it's snowing and the grit and the determination, obviously, of both teams and the team that eventually won it. But let's talk the NFC Championship game. I said coming off of the Week 16 Seahawk overtime win over the Rams, that was a game of the year at the moment. Obviously, that got replaced many times over. And then in the interim, as we saw potentially a Rams and Seahawks collision course in the NFC Championship game, the way that everything played out with the seeding, the way that everything played out certainly in the wild card week, and that if we would see something similar to Week 16 play out in the NFC Championship game between these two teams, it would be something we talk about for a long time to come. And what played out yesterday was an outstanding football game filled with drama, filled with points, filled with quarterback play that was superb, filled with pass catchers that were superb, filled with defensive plays when they would crop up, and then filled with second guessing. And congratulations to the Seattle Seahawks, the defense that was getting you through many of these games. The defense that helped you, along with special teams, get you through against San Francisco in the divisional round. The defense that would give Sam Darnold, say, the rest of the day off against the Washington Commanders and the Arizona Cardinals and just boat racing people and just coming up with pick sixes or sack fumbles returned for touchdowns and DeMarcus Lawrence being added and this kid Nick Emenwori, who's all over the place. And that defense, at the end of the day, is not what got you through to the Super Bowl in the NFC Championship game. This is amazing, and it's the truth. Sam Darnold did. The highly, much maligned Sam Darnold against the Los Angeles Rams in the fourth quarter in overtime of Week 16, and then the NFC Championship game. His arm, his grit, his guts, his determination, his neck up ability, his connection with Jackson Smith and Jigba. That, I understand, in a game of 53 men is one thing. But Sam Darnold on Sunday with the rest of his teammates on offense and the blocking up front, it was his arm that's getting you to Super Bowl 60. And that is incredible. In case you're wondering, there's a list of players who in the history of the Seahawks have had 300 or more yards in a game, three passing touchdowns in that game with your 300-yard game, and no interceptions in the playoff game. In the history of the Seattle Seahawks postseason action, the list includes Sam Darnold. That's it. One. That's it. That's all. It's not Russ. There's no Matt Hasselbeck.
No Jim Zorn?
No. No Dave Craig. Okay. This guy. He was unbelievable. Passer rating of 127.8. And the other guy who may win MVP, his passer rating was 127.6. He needed every part of that last decimal in this game. Did he get a break on special teams? Did he get a break when a punt to start the second half after a three and out, after the Rams get what they needed from their defense? Did they get a muff punt from Xavier Smith? They did. Did they turn it into points right away with just the fourth catch of the year by Jake Bobo? Words I can't believe I'm saying into a microphone, but the word Sam Darnold, Super Bowl quarterback, is being said into this microphone. Yes, they did. But did they then in this game remarkably have a sort of similar mistake made by them lead to a touchdown for the Rams right away? Yes. I've never seen, and this is unbelievable, certainly in a championship game, I've never seen a defender like Reek Woolen get called for taunting an opponent and an opponent's bench. I don't know what he was saying towards the Rams sideline in that game. I don't know what was going on, but it was enough for Davante Adams to look at the ref and say, "You're going to do something about this?" And then the ref throws a flag. And instead of it being a punt, it was like a turnover because the Rams got a fresh set of downs. Instead of sending the punt unit out, back comes the Rams offense with a fresh set of downs, and then right away, a touchdown from Stafford over Reek Woolen to Puka Nacua for the score. Right away. In the same way that the Rams took the Seahawks took the Rams' muffed punt, turned it into points right away. The Rams did the same thing to the Seahawks. So you kind of throw those touchdowns out, and we're back sort of on serve, if you will, the way that the first half was playing out. Although the Rams didn't get the ball with an opportunity to take the lead, the Seahawks got the ball back after the Rams made it closer in this instance. No matter, because the Rams did have a shot to take the lead later on in the game. They were trailing in and marched down the field. They needed 90 yards to do it. And they were inside the red zone because Stafford was jumping it down, making a profit instead of going broke, finding Blake Corum, finding Kyren Williams, finding Davante Adams, finding Puka Nacua. And then instead of kicking a field goal to go down one, Sean McVay decides to go for it. Matthew Stafford on fourth and one of going for it, picks it up with his legs. That was unbelievable. Yep. I don't know if you were screaming and yelling from the couch at that point in time that Stafford's taken off. You know, I turned to my Patriot loving son, Cooper. I'm like, see, not just Drake May can run it. 37-year-old whose birthday's a Saturday before Super Bowl 60 can do it too. He picks it up with his legs. And then sure enough, another fourth down faced inside this red zone now. And they decide to go for it instead of kicking the field goal. I'll be honest with you, and we're going to talk about this later. This is what you just referred to right there. Listen, I think McVay's going to go to the Hall of Fame one day. Ooh. It's his first. We all know it. Come on now.
Wow.
I think both Seans are going to be there one day. But take the points. Play defense. Come back. Get half the field. Try and win it. Easy second guess. Certainly when on fourth down, the Seahawks defense stops the Rams. Sean McVay alluded to it later on. It seemed like it was like a busted coverage by the Seahawks that they lucked into having two players on Kyren Williams instead. No matter. No matter. The Seahawks did what they needed to do. Not only stopping the Rams there, but getting enough first downs to essentially give Stafford no time left in which to drive the field for a touchdown. And the unkindest for the Rams cut in that regard is on a night when Darnold was dealing and was dealing to Jackson Smith and Jigba and finding Jake Bobo in the end. Part of the reason why the Rams were down more than just a field goal, part of the reason why the Rams were down for much of this game is because a first down grab and lean for the first down in this crucial instance was turned in by a guy who scored a touchdown earlier in the game, and that's Cooper Kupp. He was awesome. He was a difference maker. He scored a touchdown, and going down to the ground, he was ruled, Bills fans, as if he had already caught the ball, did enough. Maybe the football act of trying to reach the ball for the first down is what made the official on the spot determine that he was not still in the process of making the catch, and therefore the ground did not cause an incompletion. It caused a runner to hit the ground, and thus the ground could not cause a turnover. That split decision by the official, and then Sean McVay firing off a timeout and then deciding not to challenge, because if he had fired off that timeout and then challenged, apparently if he had lost, he would have lost all of his remaining times out. That was the final sequence that led to too much time coming off the clock, Cooper Kupp's grab and Darnold's dart of a throw, and the potential future MVP of this season with 374 yards and three touchdowns and no interceptions of his own walks off the field wondering what happened. We're all wondering about the future, which we'll discuss later on. And the Seahawks are moving on with Sam Darnold at quarterback as NFC champs. And Mike McDonald moving on. Last year, a 10-win season, not enough to make the playoffs because the tie breaks didn't go his way. And the man taking the selfie with him on the screen right now, and John Schneider, who 1,000,000% is in line for executive of the year, the based on what he did. And we'll discuss that further on in this show. But Mike McDonald is a Super Bowl head coach and had this to say after the game.
The team win, you know, special teams had to pick it up. The drive at the end on offense was just tremendous. I thought Clint called a great game. And then, you know, you can't talk about the game without talking about our quarterback. I mean, he just shut a lot of people up tonight. So I'm really happy for him.
He should be. He should be. Showed up a lot. He shut up a lot of people tonight. And that's as much of a spike of the football you're going to get from this guy. don't let his calm demeanor fool you. He's intense. He is intense, and he holds everyone accountable. And along with Clint Kubiak, who might be a head coach in about 2 weeks from today, the OC there, brought this team along. And has allowed Sam Darnold to fully bloom and had this to say about being a Super Bowl quarterback.
I feel that support, you know, not with only their words, but, you know, just with how everyone treats each other in the building. There's a lot of respect that goes around the building. Everyone respects the work that, you know, we all put into this great game. And so, you know, I'm just I'm happy to be a part of this team, man. This group and this coaching staff is just, I'm really happy to be here. Happy to be in this position. I'm just going to continue to do the best that I can to put this team in positions to win football games.
Eighth quarterback ever to start a Super Bowl in his first season with the team. Last quarterback to do it is the guy he beat yesterday in Matthew Stafford. And give it up. Give it up to the Seattle Seahawks. As for the Rams, Sean McVay, almost fired off that a timeout before that fourth down attempt. Decided to stick with the play.
Took a long, hard look.
He sure did.
He raced down the sidelines.
Sidelines and gave it as much of a look as any coach this side of Cignetti can give something a look down the line. But decided to stick with it. And he's as intense as they come, too. And he internalizes a lot. And I'm sure there's a lot for him to internalize after this one.
Well, I mean, I think you make a couple plays tonight and we're talking about a different thing. So I don't think it's as simple as that. You start all over. I mean, you know that. And that's what's so hard, because to get to these positions, there is so much work. There's so much time. Things have to go your way. You have to stay healthy. It's a special group. And so you know this, and I know you know this. I'm not minimizing the question. It doesn't work like that. You know, you got to make these plays and you got to capitalize on these opportunities when you get the chances. And, Seattle was able to do that and we weren't, but it doesn't take away my love and appreciation for this football team.
Ooh, man, I thought the Rams had the stuff to win it all this year. And I think they do. And I know there's going to be a lot of people who are going to spend the next few days, if not week and a half, saying that that was the NFC Championship game, was the Super Bowl. That whoever won that game would be playing a team in New England that's ready to be beaten. I think that's nonsense. And I'll explain why later on in this program when we hit that subject matter for the first time, I think, of many over the next week and a half. But this team was ready to go. Stafford playing at his highest level. The run game on point. Puka Nacua catching everything. And then, last night, Jackson Smith and Jigba with a one-hander here, and he was eating up the Rams in that first half. He was just unguardable. What a game it was with all these pass catchers. And then, there's a future Hall of Famer who's now 0-for-5. Yeah. In NFC Championship games. He's 0-for-5 of them now. And that's Devontae Adams, who took it hard.
Heartbreak. It's tough. It's tough to talk, honestly.
How would you describe how Matthew and the offense played today?
I'm proud of the way the guys fought today.
I love that guy. 4 catches, 89 yards, and a score. He recorded his 9th career playoff touchdown. That's tied for 10th all time. And again, he's no spring chicken when it comes to skilled position players, if you will, in the NFL. But he's playing at the top of his game. Same thing with Stafford. We'll talk about it. Hopefully they all make a run back at it. But what a game. Superb game. Puka, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp, all scored touchdowns. Matthew Stafford, 374 yards passing and a passer rating of 127.6. Darnold, 346 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, and a passer rating of 127.8. I mean, everybody showed up. A couple mistakes here and there. By both teams, one team took advantage of just a little bit more, and they're going to the Super Bowl, which is why you got to take care of business when you can. The opportunities when it's there, the window being open, you got to go through it because you never know what's on the other side. As Sean McVay says, you start from scratch the next year. That's the difference between being a champion or not in the National Football League, despite having championship quality players all over the place like the Rams and coming up short. And having championship quality players all over the place like the Seahawks apparently have, after all. And going to Super Bowl 60, winning the toughest division in football and arguably the tougher conference. Congrats to them. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. When we come back, the snow game that the Patriots won in the playoffs in Denver and the aftermath of all of that. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show on a Championship Monday.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Save money and get a better view of the road when you replace your worn-out wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, save $10 on a pair of Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. They feature beam blade technology to improve windshield contact for maximum visibility. The professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades for free. Choose Rain-X Latitude wiper blades at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Rich Eisen here. The tax deadline will be here before you know it, and you just want to know your taxes are actually being handled. But the old way? You hand everything off, and then silence. Days pass, weeks pass. You start wondering, should I send another follow-up email? It feels like you're chasing updates and getting nowhere. But now, taxes are different because your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full-service expert. With Intuit TurboTax, you can match with your dedicated tax expert and hand off everything right in the app. And while your expert checks for every deduction, you'll see real-time updates on your phone so you always know exactly where things stand. Suddenly, you're not refreshing your inbox. You're going for a run, grabbing a coffee, scrolling anything other than a just checking in message, because your TurboTax expert is handling it and keeping you in the loop. So this tax season, get your best possible outcome and every dollar you deserve without the guesswork. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts. As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on Disney Plus, ESPN, the app, and ESPN Radio audience has just rejoined us here on the program. The AFC Championship game. Okay. No, stop. Listen.
Well, congratulations.
No, I mean, listen.
Go Pats.
I'll be honest with you. The weather ruined it. First things first. Is the injury gods damaged it?
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm wondering to myself, would Bo Nix have done better in this snow?
A blizzard? No.
I don't know. He's a bit more of a runner, a bit more spry. I don't know. That we'll never ever know. We'll never ever know.
No.
Okay. And Jared Stidham did, when it was a nice day without any snow, make the throw of the game, right?
No doubt.
There's no doubt about it.
No doubt about it.
Over Christian Gonzalez.
Yeah, beat Gonzo.
And got everyone going, because then he found Cortland Sutton in the end zone, and it's 7-0. It's 7-0.
Looked pretty easy.
And, you know, it looked good right there. It's like, okay, the kid's going to be all right. Certainly when the Denver defense was playing its best game, I think, in weeks. More complete game than I've seen in weeks. They were all over Drake May. I was concerned that he was going to start looking at the rush rather than down the field. And, you know, Denver's up 7-0. And it's 4th-and-1. And a 31-yard field goal, 2 yards closer than an extra point. Sean Payton decides to go for it. Now, I don't know if he was aware of the Doppler radar of what was heading to the stadium. And I don't know if anybody did. Even if it's just like, hey, snow's possible. I'm sure he knew that. But CBS did a great job of a time lapse during the game where they showed you what the field looked like in the first quarter and what time it was mountain.
First play of the game.
Right. And then what time it went, you know, and what it looked like at the outset of the second half. I mean, that snow came fast and it started to accumulate fast. Like that went from, oh, what a nice, crisp Rocky Mountain day with maybe some snow in the air to this is a blizzard.
Whoa.
I know. Like, clearly, if Sean Payton knew what the second half was going to look like, he would have taken the points because points are at a premium. But he did not. And I think to this moment, he will lament it, and we'll hear from him in a second. But New England got that moment and made the most of it because they sniffed out whatever play he was thinking, which is part and parcel of the entire day. Entire day, but even before the snow was coming. Even at halftime, you could make the case that without that one throw to Mims over Gonzalez that led to the Sutton throw, Stidham was looking like a guy who hadn't played in 2 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a guy who went 749 days between passes.
Yeah, he started to get super happy feet as the game went on.
I mean, you had to be concerned when Gonzalez gave up that throw, right?
Oh, man, right off the bat. It was very close to firing off a game over text to you guys. Which, as you know, is the reverse jinx kiss of death. But, very concerning because you're just like, man, it's that's an all-pro corner. This guy is a backup who hasn't played in 2 years. Especially when, you know, the Pats force a three and out to start the game and then immediately go three and out themselves. Did not look good.
And then
it was.
And then, you know, we saw what happened after that because what Jared Stidham looked like a guy who hadn't played in 2 years the most was flipping the ball into harm's way just to avoid a sack.
Yep.
Chest passing it like he's a member of the Denver Nuggets, not the quarterback of the Denver Broncos. And it being ruled initially an incomplete pass and then ruled a backwards pass that's not a touchdown because they basically blew the whistle, blew the play dead. And then the Patriots scored with Drake May running it in. And for the second straight week, a Patriots team that was struggling in the first half with Drake May watched the opposing quarterback basically toss a live grenade into the middle of the Patriots defense. And they just took that grenade, ate it, and then exploded on the opposition after that. C.J. Stroud had an opportunity to rest on his defense, decides to flip it in the middle of the air, pick six. Jared Stidham has his defense rolling. For some reason, doesn't take the sack. This happens, tie game. Instead of being up 10-0, it's now 7-7. And that was the difference because in the second half, the Patriots get the ball to start the half and start to impose their will, which they have been doing all season long, and especially on the road. A 9-minute drive to start that second half as the snow begins to fall and accumulate. And Andy Borgalis kicks the field goal. Nothing's a gimme in that weather. And Borgalis actually missed one later on, and Lutz missed two more. But the 23-yard field goal, it was close enough. And that was all the scoring that was needed. Because the snow came, and the Broncos couldn't move the ball worth a lick. And if you're sitting here saying, and Broncos fans, I feel for you. I really do. Because Bo Nix should have been playing in that game. And I understand what Stidham was doing, and I don't mean to be unfair. But it was just gutting to me. I don't know if you saw the video of Nick's. Somebody took video, I guess, on their phone of him leaving the game, going to an elevator. He must have been watching in a suite upstairs. You know, he's on a scooter. His surgically repaired ankle up in the air behind him. And he's got to be sick to his stomach. They all have to be sick to their stomach. But at the end of the day, the Patriots were the ones moving the football. They were the ones actually picking up first downs. Denver couldn't do it. You know, Drake May might have had the added benefit of it was easier to spot the defenders that he needed to avoid because they were wearing orange, and it was tougher for Stidham to spot the defenders because they were blending into the snow. I'm serious. That's how crazy it was beginning to get.
It felt like that was definitely the case on a couple of, you could see Stidham was looking deep and then kind of,
He had a double clutch.
Yeah, he had a double take, double pump.
And then finally he just decided to put one up for grabs, and Gonzalez said, I'm not getting beat over my head this time. And that was the end of that. But the true end of everything was Drake May and the Patriots needing one more first down to just flat out end it. And him apparently on this keeper that he came up with the final first down necessary for the Patriots to move on to Super Bowl 60. He apparently did that on his own. Ooh. And all his linemen after the game told the media was, I'm blocking. And all of a sudden, the guy I'm blocking is running away to the other direction. I'm wondering what's going on. Oh, that's Drake May by himself. He decided to keep it on his own and admitted as much after the game.
Yeah, I mean, we were in big personnel running. You're running the same deal to the right, little stretch play. And, you know, at some point, you know, they get lackadaisical and, you know, got a chance to get around the edge. And I thought he was going to track me and hawk me down. But, you know, got enough to pick up the first, and Coach Raves would probably get mad about you're running out of bounds, but at that point, it doesn't matter when you get the first down. So that was a cool moment and cool to separate those guys. It's always cool finishing in victory formation. It's pretty sweet.
I mean, young enough to not know any better. And then Vrabel might have been with McDaniels like, what's he doing?
Probably
until it's just like, way to go, kid.
Hey, nice job.
I don't think complaining at all about him running out of bounds as long as he picked up that first down. And Mike Vrabel, man, he is going to the Super Bowl as the head coach of the New England Patriots, the only other individual to start for as a player and then represent as head coach in a Super Bowl is Gary Kubiak, ooh, who went to, wait for it, Super Bowl 50 and won it. In the building where Vrabel's now heading for Super Bowl 60, can't make it up, man. And so Vrabel was asked what it felt like when the clock hit zero.
I do this for the players. I've been in their position. I've been there, and it's amazing, and I want other people to feel that feeling. And it's for our families who make a lot of sacrifices and the excitement and the joy that they have. I'm fine. Like, I'll be okay. I do this for the players to be able to experience this with their families, and our coaches to be able to experience it with their families.
I love this guy, as does New England. He will never buy another drink in New England again. By the way, I don't think he was needing to reach. He's already reached that status.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I mean, honestly, he could just a statue. I'm serious. Like that. He's in line for that. And, you know, holding up that Lamar Hunt trophy for everybody to soak in.
Looks small.
His predecessor, as you all know, right, once removed, began to treat the Lamar Hunt trophy like a hood ornament. He would just grab it and hand it off to somebody. You know, you take it. I think Jonathan Kraft might have had a few of those handed to him. You know?
What am I going to do?
Bears. Here, you take it. Because this is not what we do it around here for. But Vrabel has every right to take that thing and hold it up and say, this is a massive achievement. Back-to-back four-win seasons, and they're going to the Super Bowl. Back-to-back four-win seasons. And, again, give it up. Josh McDaniels comes back. He is as great as they come in his role. Look at what Drake May's doing. Steph Diggs is added. Give it up to Elliott Wolf. He drafted his head off. Daniel Jeremiah said it in Green Bay when we were there for the draft. He's like, the Patriots had the best draft. Let's see what they can do with it. I don't think anybody walked out of Green Bay thinking Super Bowl. And all the rookies and all the veterans that they decide to keep or add in Milton Williams. And then for them to, you know, you see that T-Strong logo that's on Vrabel's pullover or his hoodie. That is for the defensive coordinator, Terrell Williams, who had to step away to deal with cancer, a cancer diagnosis. And the linebacker coach, Zach Kerr, steps in to call the plays. Where the hell did he come from?
He's been unreal.
He was the number of times that Sean Payton's dialing something up, it looked like he was a move ahead of Sean Payton. You can't be usually a move ahead of Sean Payton an entire game, a championship game. I mean, these guys are balling out. They're everywhere. They lost Spillane in the middle. They didn't have Landry going in. Damn, they are just clicking on every cylinder right now. And, you know, and this is part of the reason whatever play call Kerr dialed up on that fourth down and Sean Payton's decision to go for it and it didn't work out, that is what is lingering the most from this AFC Championship game. And Sean Payton was asked about it afterwards and had this to say.
I think the feeling was, man, let's be aggressive. You know, to get up 14, I was just watching the way our defense was playing. And, you know, the turnover on our end resulting in a touchdown. And outside of that, man, I thought we did a good job in containing them. There'll be a number of things when we watch the tape I'll look at and you know, critique and pay close attention to. But it was a hard-fought game, and we didn't do enough to win it.
I understand it, right? 14 points would have been enough to win it. Yep. At the end of the day.
Yeah, yep. No doubt.
At the end of the day, the 14, he was going for the game-winning requisite amount of points.
Oh, and 14-0, just the way the Patriots offense.
Right, cool. So yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
But tip the cap, whatever. I mean, take a look at that play again. It was dead on arrival. Right after the snap, there were two defenders already in the backfield. Stidham was finished. Yep. Me put it, I was almost intercepted. Actually, it would have only netted him like 2 yards picking it off. Got to give it up. The field goal would have just, if they had the 10 points, we'll see what would happen in the second half. It would have been nice to have those points on the board. Clearly, when Lutz had two shots at it, missed two of them. The second one was a tip ball.
Yeah.
Romo said he thought it would have been that ball would have been a good field goal by Lutz.
Yeah, deflected it just enough.
And
so
they didn't pick up on it till the second or third replay.
Yeah. I mean, how could you see anything?
Yeah. I'm sure they had a hard time in the booth even seeing the yard marker.
Sure.
I mean, Jim Nance at one point was like, God, I don't even know where the punt landed out of bounds.
I would love to tell you. I'd love to tell you where the ball is, folks, but it would be just a guess. I love that. It's awesome broadcasting. It's human. It's normal. And it spoke perfectly to the state of affairs.
I mean, at one point they had the superimposed yard markers out there,
but then,
and you couldn't see the Patriots players because the white jerseys blended in.
Yeah, they were doing their best. The 17 combined points scored in the AFC Championship game tied for the third fewest combined points in any conference championship game, all tied. The 10 for the Patriots that won it are tied for the second fewest in a conference championship game win all time. The Bills in 91 had just 10 to beat the Broncos. So it's again, they lose with an opponent with 10 points in a win or go home game. The Rams beat the Buccaneers in 1979 in the NFC championship game, 9-0. That's it. So that's the fewest combined points in any conference championship game ever. And the fewest winning points. and the Patriots move on and the Broncos go home. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Your phone call still to come when we come back. Is this it for Matthew Stafford? One of the many conversations coming out of the Sunday drama.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. So now get two snack wraps, plus fries, and a medium soft drink for just $8.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Sometimes teams take a timeout to regroup and call the right play. When it comes to your home, Pella Windows and Doors always has the winning game plan. They're not just window and door experts. They're experts at taking care of you and your home. At Pella, they find the products that meet your needs, and their experts then install them. They do it every day, and that's why your neighbors trust them. Discover why Pella is a trusted choice for homeowners everywhere. Visit Pella.com/Eisen today. That's Pella.com/Eisen. So when you play like Matthew Stafford, you're 37, you're turning 38 the Saturday before Super Bowl 60, and you come up with your first team All-Pro season, and you are a favorite to be the MVP of the campaign, of the entire season, for the first time in your career. Mm-hmm. And you're playing lights out. And then you come up with remarkable games in the playoffs, like the one he had in Chicago. And then you finish up with 374 yards and three touchdowns and no interceptions and a passer rating of 127.6, but two very frustrating third and fourth down play calls or execution or attempts, whatever you want to do it, in the red zone. And you wind up short despite everything I just said. Everything I just said. It's still not enough. It has to be gutting. Absolutely gutting. You know? And mind-numbing. And to his credit, he stood there and answered questions about his future. Clearly, he doesn't want to talk about it, as you would maybe pick up from this exchange.
I can't generalize, 6 months of my life, 10 minutes after a loss. Mm-hmm. Appreciate the guys in this locker room a whole hell of a lot. Everybody that helped me, and helped our team be as successful as we were this year. And that's all I'll answer for you.
Hmm. McVay, at the end of his press conference, he was asked if Matthew Stafford's coming back, and this was his answer.
I love this team, and I wasn't ready to stop working with them. Thought we had two more weeks together. But I am really grateful for each of those individuals and the collective. It's as special of a group top to bottom as I've ever been around. It's coaches and players included. And, that's what sports, it represents a lot of different things. It's a beautiful thing, though. You know, this game has brought me some of the most special relationships that I'll cherish. That's what this team has done. And this was a special year, and I think it's hard to fathom that it's over. It'll take some time, but nothing but gratitude. That's what I want them to know.
He was asked that question about, and he basically said, what the heck question was that? And then he did give an answer to the question that he understood was coming his way. I'll just say this. I hope he comes back. He's playing out of his skull. And I think at the end of the day, it's just going to be, we have no earthly idea what it takes for Matthew Stafford to do what he's done, to be as great as he is at this age that he is. And after a summer where he's sitting in, what, red light chambers trying to stay out of traction? And we're all wondering, is he going to answer
Airstreams.
The bell to play one snap? And he does what he did there. And I think at the end of the day, when Stafford does move on and retire, I think we are going to find out, if we don't already sense it, that playing quarterback for Sean McVay in Los Angeles for the Rams organization, where the groceries are chosen by Les Snead in a collaborative effort with the rest of the command and control structure the way it is the most envied quarterback position in the NFL. And we may see a mad dash to fill that chair. And you may see it from quarterbacks that want to do it here in LA with McVay and perhaps are thinking about a change of address when they're staring into the abyss by themselves and maybe want to pull some sort of NBA type move to say, I want to go there. And at the end of that day, Stafford may realize that that is something he loves playing with these players, and his family is willing to have dad go through all this, and he's willing to go through all this as a player and as a person, that it's too tough to give up. But for the moment, you just got to sit here and go, what must he be feeling? He's done all of this, and it still wasn't enough. And by the way, the Super Bowl's here in LA next year, where he won it before, so maybe he sticks around.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.